Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the beloved Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. Jim, we start with the good. This from Reuters. More than half of U.S. senators support a bill to impose new sanctions on Iran should the Islamic Republic break an agreement to curb its nuclear program. According to this story, as of yesterday, there were 54 senators. Now there's 56, 16 Democrats on board here with the Nuclear Weapon-Free Iran Act, basically hanging a major anvil over the head of the Iranians here. If Iran in any way reneges on the interim agreement or a subsequent agreement, the bill would seek to cut Iran's oil exports to zero 2 years after implementation. It also puts limits on the Obama administration's ability to waive sanctions. And the president, I think, is threatening to veto this, Jim. But every once in a while, you get a few Democrats to do a sensible thing here. We'll see if it actually gets anywhere.
One of the intriguing things we've learned about this administration is just because a law is on the books doesn't mean they're actually going to enforce it. So the idea of the, relying on Democratic senators who are less Iranophilic, shall we say, more Iranophobic, I guess to use the preferred terms, the left. It's no guarantee. If Obama wants a deal with Iran, I have a suspicion he's going to get a deal with Iran. Having said that, it's nice to see a good chunk of the Democratic caucus and this being a bridge too far for them and for them sensing that, wait a minute, as the way this deal is set up, all of the concessions we make are very, very hard to undo. All of the concessions they're making are a matter of flicking switches and turning the centrifuges on again. So it is not a good deal. It's nice to see Democrats recognizing this. It'll be nice to see Obama administration get into hot water and having problems with his own party on this. But ultimately, the rapid, serious improvement of our Iran policy does not appear to be imminent.
Absolutely. And here's the cold water that, like you were indicating in your comments there. There is a strong resistance to the measure by many other Democrats. However, a block of 10 Democratic senators, all committee chairmen, sent a letter to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid last month expressing opposition to the bill. A Senate Democratic aide said there were no plans yet for advancing the bill to the Senate floor despite the growing list of co-sponsors. So it still would suggest that Obama's got Harry Reid's arm behind his back. All right, on to martini number two now. And prior to about 8:30 Eastern time this morning, the mainstream media was rubbing its hands together, gleeful that another wonderful jobs report would come out showing that the economy is on the rebound. And of course, we all want to see a lot of job creation and economy on the rebound. Unfortunately, we got just 74,000 new jobs created in December. That's well over 100,000 short of expectations. The overall unemployment rate did fall from 7.0 to 6.7, but only because 347,000 people gave up looking for work. And if you look at the other unemployment rate numbers that are out there, like the U6, which factors in people who have given up and people who are taking part-time jobs, that's still at 13.1. Others are looking at what the labor participation rate was when Obama took office. If that was at the same level, it'd be 10.8. Labor participation down now, right around 63% or so. And Jim, on the one hand, I guess you could say this gives a little bit of impetus to the Democrats for suggesting that there's still an emergency with employment and the current unemployment insurance debate. But at the same time, if they're hoping to run on an improving economy later this year, that's not going to work at all.
Yeah, and I think what you saw was kind of a deep shudder running through the economist community today. Because, look, most people thought, the stock market had been booming for a good long while. And the idea of the stock market detaching from the rest of the economy, we had kind of gotten used to. But there had been a couple of months that seemed pretty good. The Christmas sales weren't terrible, and there was just kind of the sense of, okay, finally, we've shaken off the last of the great long recession. We're ready for a boom. We're ready for the good times. And then you get this number, which is awful. And what was really bad, the job number creation is very modest. Because of the wacky way of the math, we're down to 6.7. So in a way, this is one of the best months for measurements for in the Obama presidency. But the really big thing is that another 300-some thousand people dropped out of the workforce. Now, you can chalk that up to retirements. You can chalk that up to alien abductions. You can chalk that up to the rapture. But the point is that we end up with a country in which fewer and fewer people are going to work. And that's really what's driving that 0.3 of a percentage point drop in the unemployment rate. And getting people to stop looking for work is not the objective of our policies. You want people to go to work. You want people to be able to support themselves. Whether they are, you know, maybe if they're going back to school, maybe it's good. If they're retiring, it can be good, although I hope they have a secure retirement. And everybody kind of understands the anxiety you have about that. And you can't help but wonder if some of these folks are going on to public assistance, which is one of the reasons we're having this big stress about whether we should be extending unemployment. Because of long-term unemployment, people are on it for much longer. So the little bit of glimmers of optimism that had really kind of been building in the folks who cover this regularly really got a big dose of cold water today, to the point where some folks are saying, you know, it's got to be a weird month. It's got to be bad weather. It's got to be, you know, they're kind of coming up with one, you know, explanation for another. But, you know, like you see some of these numbers, you know, as James Pethakokis is pointing out right now, it's hard to see how the weather or anything else was to blame for the 25,000 decrease in employment in accountants.
Right.
You know, it's not like you can snow out the entire accounting profession, or at least 25,000 of them. Also worth noting, employment in healthcare was significantly down.
Wow.
This one. And you can't help but wonder if there's some sort of Obamacare effect in there, you know, whether as people pay less into the medical industry, there's less money coming in that they end up having to have layoffs. Just kind of a strange phenomenon here. We'll see if this, you know, continues into next month or whether this is just kind of a one weird end of the year month. But certainly an ominous, you know, set of indicators for the economy heading into the new year.
Yeah, that would be ominous on the health industry front. That's usually one of the most stable components of the report every month. So if that's
people always get sick.
Right? Yes.
It's not like, you know, oh, it's been a boom year for healthy people. We're doing great. So nobody goes to the doctor anymore.
Right. All right. Well, on to the crazy martini now. And if you want the full backstory to the three martini lunch approach to this story, you need to go to the end of the December 31st podcast and really appreciate that. But here's the story. It's been reported widely, but this is from the UK Guardian. Hollywood actor Shia LaBeouf has posted on Twitter that he is, quote, retiring from all public life. So I guess he's not going to go outside anymore. Following the recent attacks against my artistic integrity. The decision comes after LaBeouf became embroiled in a plagiarism row with graphic novelist Daniel Clowes. And it turns out not only did he plagiarize Clowes, when he finally apologized for it, he also plagiarized other people's apologies in doing so. And Jim, and just going through the Google search to find the article on this story, I don't think a lot of people are going to miss him given some of the terminology used to describe this young actor.
You know, and here's the thing. Maybe this, first of all, if we really are losing Shia LaBeouf and Justin Bieber in the same year.
Yes.
You know, Greg, this 2014 will be a fantastic year. It's off to a rollicking, fantastic start. You call that addition by subtraction. This is perhaps the cautionary tale of being too successful or getting what you wish for too early in life. Being the sidekick to both to Indiana Jones and Optimus Prime and to Gordon Gekko within a short period of time. But I just want to give you an example of the awesome power of Shia LaBeouf. And some people might think this is picking on him, but you know what? He gets to go back to his Hollywood mansion, drive his Ferrari, and enjoy his life. So I think he can take it. So I'm working out the other day, Greg, being healthy. It's New Year. And Transformers 3 comes on. And as we all know, the Transformers series, as directed by Michael Bay, really don't like to have Transformers in them very much. We follow the human people a lot because we all love playing with the human figures when we were kids, right, Greg? None of us want to play with the actual fire trucks and planes and stuff turning into robots, which is kind of why you go to see a Transformers movie. It's an early scene, and they're trying to track down some Russian cosmonauts or something. And who's in it but one of my all-time favorite actors, Alan Tudyk, known for Firefly and a bunch of other stuff. And he's playing kind of a goofy secret and really enjoying the scene. And then Shia comes along, and the scene just dies. It just gets worse. And then, of course, you know, Michael Bay begins editing the film in a blender. It's a bunch of rapid succession cuts, and you can't actually see anything. And it starts inducing an epileptic seizure in you because of the flashing lights and stuff. And then all of a sudden, two giant robots are fighting, and you have no idea who the good guy is, no idea the bad guy. It's just like just lots of flying metal on screen. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, as a kid, I really liked watching Big Red Optimus Prime, who was a truck, fighting Big Silver Megatron, who transformed into a gun and shrunk, and it never really made sense. But, you know, like you could understand what was going on in the great classic cartoon series of the 1980s. You can't understand anything that's going on. And so a lot of that's got to go at the hand of Michael Bay. But also, Michael Bay made the decision to build his film series around Shia LaBeouf. So... Clearly, this is exactly the topic you expected when you tuned in to the Three Martini Lunch today. You expected an analysis of Michael Bay and how he's ruined Transformers. But look, chin up, America. We're heading towards a Shia LaBeoufless future.
Absolutely. You know, you got to wonder who the third is now. You got Bieber, you got LaBeouf.
Can we hope for Miley?
Miley Cyrus is where I was going, yeah. Let's hope so. All right, Jim. On that note, have a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great weekend, everyone, and please join us Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch.